As Janet has just said, this morning's reading is from Luke chapter 4, and we're reading verses 16 to 30. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Colin, thank you very much for that. Heavenly Father, please speak to us now. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Again, great to see so many of you. We're talking about who is Jesus, and I'm going to tell you a story right when Jesus started his ministry in a place called Nazareth. Now, is there anyone here who's been to Nazareth? Yes, yes, quite a few people. So if you see anyone with their hand up, go and ask them what it's like. I've been to Nazareth. You can go there today. It's in Israel. All I remember was it was hot, it was dusty, and there was a lot of traffic around. And it was a really busy town. And in this town, there was this enormous church, this Basilica of the Annunciation. And they said, "Oh, that church is built on the exact spot where the angel Gabriel came to Mary to tell her that she's going to bear a child." And I said to the guide, "How do you know?" Nazareth, it's a real place. You can go there, you can visit it. And Jesus is a real person. Last week we heard that Jesus was born. When he was about 30, he was baptized by his cousin. He was tempted in the wilderness, and now at the start of his 3-year ministry, he goes into the synagogue at Nazareth. Nazareth, it's in Galilee, it's a very green, hilly area. It's the place where he was brought up. So who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? I'm going to do something really old-fashioned. I'm going to do a J-E-S-U-S talk. So I'm just warning you now. J-E-S-U-S for Jesus. J, Joseph's son. Jesus is a real person. We're told who his earthly parents are, Mary and Joseph. We know that he was fixed in this particular point in time, first century Palestine. Did you know that, not just in the Bible, did you know that Roman historians wrote about a man called Jesus, somebody called Josephus? There is evidence, not just in the Bible, that Jesus was a real person who lived in the first century. So he's brought up in Nazareth. His father Joseph was a carpenter, and he was known as Joseph's son. You know how people refer to you, if they knew your parents, they always think of you, don't they, as that person's son or that person's daughter. So Jesus starts preaching and teaching in the town where he was brought up. It's not always an easy place because people say, oh, I remember you when you were a little boy. He was fully human. He was a human being. He grew up in Nazareth. He knew what it was like to be human. I find that really encouraging that the Jesus, whom I know, knows what it's like to be a human being. He knew what it was like to visit a hot, dusty town. He knew what it was like to be thirsty. He knew what it was like when friends turned against him. He knew what it was like to suffer. Jesus, fully human. Joseph's son, J for Jesus, J for Joseph's son. As Christians, we also believe he was fully divine. He was also God. We don't believe he was just a myth. We believe he was a person. There is evidence at this particular time in history, Jesus came, Joseph's son. So what's E going to be for? Well, I wasn't sure whether to go for E, empowered by the Holy Spirit, or E, educator, so we'll probably go for both. Jesus goes to the local synagogue. The service that took place was a mixture of prayers and readings, and Jesus came along, he read the second reading from the prophets, and they gave him the scroll. They didn't have books. Everything was written out on a big scroll and rolled up, and we're told he unrolled it. And he read from Isaiah. It's actually chapter 61 in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. When he was baptized, we're told that the Holy Spirit came on him, filled him. Jesus has been anointed. And so it goes on, verse 18, to say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me to proclaim the good news. And then he gives his manifesto. So at the moment, we've got all these politicians arguing. They're about to have their party conferences. And they write their manifesto. This is what I'm here for. This is what my party's going to do. And this is sometimes called the manifesto from Nazareth. From Nazareth. And Jesus claims, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. And by saying this is fulfilled in your hearing, he is actually claiming to be the promised Messiah, the servant of the Lord. He's actually claiming to be God, to be divine as well. So what does it mean, the anointed one? I don't know if there's anyone here who likes football or follows football, but there was a certain football manager called Jose Mourinho who was called the special one, the anointed one, and went round saying, I'm the special one. I will bring success to, I think it was Chelsea, you can tell me afterwards. But we sometimes use that phrase, the anointed one, meaning like the special one appointed to do a task. Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, but he's also an E for an educator. He's a teacher, he's a preacher, and this passage is like his first sermon in Nazareth. And it's actually a very short sermon, verse 21, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's a pretty short sermon, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So he reads from Isaiah and he says, this prophecy is about me. That is quite something. And when he teaches, it says, verse 20, the eyes of everyone were fastened on him. People listened when he spoke. Their eyes were fastened on him. Today, he says, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Well, how did that sermon go down? Verse 22, all spoke well at him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. He was a really good teacher or educator. He kept people's interest. We're told later on that he often spoke in stories called parables to people. People liked listening to Jesus until he challenged them. And people were astonished that this local boy, we know Joseph's son, that he could speak like that. How did he speak? With gracious words, spoken with grace. He didn't harangue people. He didn't shout at people. He didn't gossip. He spoke with grace. There's a message for us there, to use gracious words. J, he was Joseph's son. E, he was empowered by the Spirit. He was an educator. C, society is going to be changed. And then he talks about the change in society, the bringing in of God's kingdom. And this is what he says. Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. 2, proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Now, if any political party said that in their manifesto and could do it, we'd definitely vote for them. That is some manifesto. Jesus came to bring about God's kingdom. That's a place where God is reigning. It's quite a radical agenda. He came to transform people and transform the whole of society. We can interpret it spiritually, but we can also, I think, interpret it literally. Spiritually, to bring good news to people, to proclaim freedom and recovery of sight. But also literally, he literally healed blind people. He helped people that were possessed by demons to be free. Next week, Caroline is coming and she's going to preach on Jesus who heals. But Jesus didn't just open blind eyes literally. He opened people's eyes to the truth about God. He set people free. He set the oppressed free. They were rather hoping for deliverance from the Romans, the occupying force. Jesus comes to set us free, free from our sins, free from the things that tie us down. And he preaches justice, social justice. He preaches the values of God's kingdom, to treat people with love, to love one another as I have loved you. Society will be changed for the better as people's lives are transformed. We've seen it in history. If you look back at who were the people who worked for the abolishment of slavery, Wilberforce, a Christian. Improving prisons, Elizabeth Fry, a Christian. When Christians are transformed, when they are working for God's kingdom, it can bring about a change in society. Jesus came to change people, to change society, to bring God's kingdom. So J, for Joseph's son. E, empowered by the Spirit. S, society is going to change. U, in text speak, if you text, U, the letter, means U, Y-O-U. Universal. Grace extended to people. Jesus came for everyone, and that's why they got really cross with him. He came not just for the Jews. That is why at the end of the passage, the mob turned on him and they wanted to throw him off the cliff. Nazareth, there's a cliff just outside the town. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. And the reason is, Jesus reminded them that when prophets are not accepted where they grow up in their hometown, they end up going outside to non-Jews, to Gentiles, people like the widow of Zarephath and Naaman the Syrian. And Jesus there is actually saying implicitly, that good news I've come to bring, it is for everyone, universal. God's grace is universal. It's offered to you. It's offered to me. God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense are universally on offer to us all. But we need to be the ones to say, yes, I will accept it. So Joseph's son, empowered by the Spirit, society changed, universal grace, and finally, S for Saviour. Jesus has come as Saviour for the whole world. So back to that verse 19, I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. He's announcing the year of Jubilee. He's announcing the era of salvation has come, a time of freedom, of provision, of putting wrongs right again, a time of salvation. The day of salvation has come. Those of you that know your Isaiah, you will know that he missed out half a verse, the verse about to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. The reason was the day of vengeance had not yet come. It will come when he comes again, but for now he's simply saying it's the year of the Lord's favour, God's favour. Salvation has come. So who is Jesus? He's the son of Joseph, fully human but also fully divine. So he knows what it is like to be a human being. He is empowered by the Spirit. He educates people. He teaches and preaches them. S, a message that society will be changed as the kingdom of God spreads, as people are transformed, society will be better. Universal grace is offered to Jews and to Gentiles, to you and to me, to people here, to people abroad, to people all over the world. Come follow me, Jesus says. We need to choose whether to accept it. And finally, S, Jesus is our Saviour. He's come to save us. Salvation offered to all. Now, his first sermon ended rather badly. The people were furious, it says, verse 28, and they wanted to throw him off the cliff. They wanted a nice, non-challenging message about freedom and a nice, pleasant life. They just wanted miracles. They didn't want their hearts transformed. Last verse, he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. They got the miracle they were looking because he just walked through the mob unharmed and went on his way. A miraculous deliverance. His hour had not yet come. So let's finish and just meditate on that. Jesus, the anointed one of God, the special one. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are truly the anointed one, the special one, the one who has come to save us all. We thank you. Come and transform us, we pray. Amen.